In today's episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to review the movies Monsters University, The Heat, and The Lone Ranger. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello.
Hello.
It's a hot, humid Sunday night.
It is.
Had a very hot and muggy for San Diego.
Yes. Unusual.
We had friends over from the East Coast and they were talking about how
miserably hot it is on the East Coast at the minute.
Really?
What we call humidity is nothing.
Yeah. Thunderstorms followed by humidity.
At least I wish there was thunderstorms here. It would just change things. A little bit wetness would help.
Yeah, clear the air.
Clear the air. Mind some rain. We're so spoiled.
I know. We're complaining that it doesn't rain. Life in San Diego. It's a pretty nice part of the world to live in.
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of which, if you do live in the San Diego area, we're going to be doing a Movie Rollers live event on Sunday, July 21st. If you are in town or around, keep an eye on our Facebook page. We'll show you how to get tickets there. They're going to be inexpensive. We're collaborating with Mike McFarland and Charles Weber of Sidestage, helping us put on a little bit of a celebration for our 200th episode. There's going to be improv. There's going to be
cake,
and there will be
soda. And movie reviews.
And there'll
live.
Be improv as well.
And Rashmi finishes every sentence of mine. You should do that live.
Finish your sentence with food.
Oh, yeah. Well, that too. So, yeah, if you're around in San Diego, check out our Facebook page. We will put links on the page, on the Facebook page, as well as the main website, as to how to participate in this fun celebration of Movie Rollers. So, I can't believe we're almost 200 already.
I know. You wear it well, both of you.
That's a lot of podcasting.
We haven't aged. That is a lot of podcasting. That's a lot of talking about stuff we don't know anything about.
Yeah. And when you that's think at least 400 movies,
yeah,
if not more.
I was going to say, we do on average 2 movies a show, so we need to get a life, guys.
I like our life.
No, I'm kidding. A lot of movies.
A lot of movies.
And we don't review all the ones we watch as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's many which fall by the wayside,
I know.
Unfortunately.
And some lost episodes somewhere in there.
Yeah.
All of which explains my weight problem. I don't know about you two.
What do you mean?
I'm sat in front of the TV watching movies all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, we have a bumper-packed show today.
Yeah, where do you want to go first? We have Monsters U, The Heat, or Lone Ranger?
Maybe The Heat, because it's hot.
All right. Yeah. Good segue there, Rashmi.
Mm-hmm. And I have the intro. Okay, so The Heat. So uptight FBI special agent Sarah Ashburn and foul-mouthed Boston cop Shannon Mullins, guess which one's which, couldn't be more incompatible. But when they join forces to bring down a ruthless drug lord, they become the last thing anyone expected. Buddies. This is from the director of Bridesmaids, Paul Feig, and it's written by Katie DiPold and stars Sandra Bullock and the wonderful Melissa McCarthy. So, Yazdi, why don't you go first? I'm actually excited to talk about this one.
Yeah, me too. So, this is a piffle of a film, but it is a piffle of a film that knows what it wants to be. And then it goes about being that admiringly well. I think it would be easy to dismiss this film as an inconsequential, you know, movie that is strictly for Friday evening yucks. A movie with no other heft whatsoever, but I think it is worth noting that comedy is hard. Comedy is very hard. And I have to be truthful and say that I laughed. I laughed a lot. Case dismissed.
Ah, Joe.
I found this to be a very enjoyable movie. I can't say that I wasn't just a little disappointed with a couple of aspects of it. And the thing that I think I found the hardest to deal with here was Melissa McCarthy's performance, which I think everyone else in the world loves about this movie, but I found it very forced. I found her very much being the gross-out character that she's gotten used to playing ever since her success in Bridesmaids. So I just felt that she dialed it up a little too high for my taste. But overall, this movie was very enjoyable, and it had a really big heart. as evidenced by really one or two lines of dialogue that came towards the end of the movie. And I'm not going to reveal them because they're spoilers, but the sweetness of the movie was always there. I just didn't realize it until the very end.
Oh, well, I'm glad you both liked it, because I was a bit worried. You know, a lot of people that have seen this, and especially some fellow critics, kind of panned the movie to me, which I was really shocked about. But for me, I think this is a fun, entertaining, somewhat predictable template movie that had me laughing for most of it. I love watching Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock doing what they do best, which is being really funny women with good physical comedy.
Yeah. I mean, I think my original reaction to this movie was, you know, there's got to be more to it. You know, it just seems so inconsequential. It seems so lighthearted. And then the more I think about it, the more I admire it. And I think I admire it more for everything that it is not, rather than everything that it is. And let me just explain. I mean, one of the things I really admire is that this is a full-out R-rated movie. You know, of late, you know, in the interest of, you know, commercial prospects, you know, movies keep kind of dancing around this PG-13 line, and movies are seldom truly R-rated. And you know, this movie in its language is about as profane as it gets, and I like that the movie was kind of unshackled by this. You know, it didn't have to kind of rein in its language, and it really goes pretty bizarre with its language many times, and I really appreciated that. The other thing I liked is that it did not choose to be a gross-out comedy. And, you know, every movie that is R-rated now, which is a comedy, always goes that path where, you know, you have these bodily fluid jokes. And I'm glad that this movie does not necessarily... It kind of pushes the envelope with the violence. And there are moments, again, where the dialogue is pretty profane. But I like that this was not a stupid, you know, just a gross-out movie. And this director in particular, who previously made Bridesmaids, which I'll go on record to say I think the world of that movie.
Mm-hmm. You're in good company here. Yeah, we all loved it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, that movie had its fair share of gross out. But I think in this movie, you know, for whatever reason, they decided that the movie was not going to be about that. And they chose instead the movie to be a female version of the cop buddy movie. And it stuck to that. And I really liked their kind of... You know, they were streamlined and saying, this is what we'll be, and we won't try to be 10 other things.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I was going to say was, you know, if you don't like either Melissa McCarthy or Sandra Bullock, don't watch this movie, because it's not about the story or action or drama or tension. I just found the movie enjoyable to watch because I love the chemistry of these two women. And it's, you know, I think for me, they could be in a laundry, doing their laundry for 2 hours, and I think I would have fun just watching that. But I think it's a really adequate movie.
See, I didn't quite buy the chemistry. So I think individually both actresses were okay. I didn't get the sense that their relationship was everything that it was displayed to be. And think, you know, when I say there was a sweetness here that I didn't see till the end, it really took a couple of lines of dialogue to kind of make me understand how they felt about each other. All the way through, as a buddy movie, it kind of failed for me because they seemed to just get on each other's nerves the whole time. So, you know, I didn't see the relationship develop.
But isn't that the arc?
It is the arc, but I think the
And we're not, and this isn't a spoiler, right? Because it's in the titles. They start off hating each other.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah. You know, but I just, buddies. I guess, you know, a lot of the comedy is in, you know, the straightness of Bullock's character versus the, you know, the streetwise copness of McCarthy's character. But the two don't come together in a good way. You know, they're kind of lying and double crossing each other. And I know that's the dynamic of it, but it felt very forced when it happened to me. So I didn't buy that. Not to say I didn't hate this movie. I thought there were some good gags. It made me smile. But I think I wanted it to be more. And coming from the director of Bridesmaids, which I think, Yazdi, is a very deep movie. Like, the thing with Bridesmaids is I watched it as a comedy, and then I watched it as something else the second time I saw it. And then I regard the movie as something else altogether. This movie was a lot more simplistic than that. And correct. I think, you know, that's probably what they were going for here. There was not...
Yeah, I think it fails in comparison with Bridesmaids, because I think it does not carry that the darkness, the bite.
The emotional heft.
And even
heft.
The emotional heft, yeah. that Bridesmaids did. But again, I think it's not because of lack of trying. I think it's because this movie was constructed as just a female buddy cop movie. And I can see what you mean, and that I will grant you that some of the earlier scenes just felt like Sandra Bullock was doing her shtick and Melissa McCarthy was doing her shtick, and then they were in the same scene together. But I think as the movie went on, and certainly towards the end, it did strengthen for me. It did solidify for me. And, you know, I hate to say this, I hate sequels, but I wouldn't mind watching The Heat 2.
Yes.
Because now that bond is strengthened. Now I believe in those two.
Now all that stuff is out of the way. Right. And yeah, I agree. I think the sequel is likely to be on the cards. I think the movie's done quite well. So mm-hmm. I think we will get that wish granted. But I think to me that will be the better movie, because it's the earlier stuff that didn't work so well for me.
But I think this is the genius of the movie, right? Because it is two completely opposite characters who realize that they need each other to get the ultimate job done. And I think that for me, why it played off so well was, here are two really smart comedians. They're really, really both good individually. And together they were just heightened. And I don't want to do a comparison to Laurel and Hardy because of the physical differences. But and of course, this isn't even a little bit as smart as good Laurel and Hardy. But it kind of had that sweetness about it that Laurel and Hardy always had, which is together they're better and they need each other to get to the next step. And I think that's what it caught really, really well for me.
Like, they annoy the hell out of each other, but they also in some weird way look out for each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the other couple of things I like that the movie was not about, and is, you know, I think the director, I've read a few of his interviews, he's gone on record to say that they made a very conscious choice when they were writing this movie and when they were directing it, to make it very evident that neither of the women were inefficient or bad at their jobs. They both had their outsized quirks, but each individually was very accomplished at doing what they wanted to do. And they didn't want any of the comedy to come from one person being really good at the job and the other person being kind of the slacker.
Right, but each had a very clear point of view, again, right. Which came across beautifully to me.
And I like that they didn't make one character lesser than the other.
Yeah.
You know, one is more annoying, the other one is kind of carrying the fall for them. And I like that. And the other thing which I'm very grateful for was that, you know, thankfully there was no man or any kind of romantic diversion thrown in between the two of them, you know, to have them kind of fight or bitch about.
Right.
You know, because that's where every female buddy movie goes. You know, ultimately their friendship is undone by some dude who comes along. And I'm glad there's none of that. Maybe that'll be there in the sequel. I hope not. But I like that.
Yeah, me too. Anything else on this one? The one thing I did want to say was, I do like, and I don't know whether you got this, when the credits ran at the beginning, it had a really 80s feel to it. Late 70s, early 80s kind of Miami Vice-ish type of vibe going on. Which
I think this was Warner's, and they did the same thing that they did it with Argo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of retro logo at the beginning of the movie. So that was very deliberate.
I like that. That was interesting. It didn't carry through in the rest of the movie, but I thought it was an interesting... It sets it up nicely.
It kind of reminded me of The Lincoln Lawyer. That did the same thing.
Yes.
You know, kind of in that...
Yeah.
That gritty kind of feeling.
Yeah, it did. It did. Kind of got you ready for what's to come. And I think when we look back at the 80s or late 70s, it feels hammy. And I kind of expected, oh, this is going to be a little bit hammy. And so I was pleasantly surprised. Okay, let's wind this one up then. So, Joe, why don't you go first?
So, not as funny as I had hoped that it might be. I think overall I found the movie enjoyable, but, you know, this isn't going to stand the test of time. It won't be on any of my end-of-year best movie lists. I do think that the talent on show here with both Bullock and McCarthy was a little underserved by some of the writing and choices in the movie. So overall, I would say I was a little disappointed with this, but, you know, it's a movie I would recommend to everybody. So I came into the review thinking 6 out of 10. I'm gonna give it a more generous 7 out of 10, because as I remember the movie, it was good fun to watch.
Yes, Steve.
I mean, the history of movies includes, you know, the buddy cop movies. I mean, and we've seen them, you know, when it's bad, it's really bad.
Yeah.
You know when it doesn't work. And the very fact that this just doesn't keel over and kind of stays afloat, I think is a testament to several things going right here. And I'm one of those people who is like, who is a Grinch when I'm watching movies. I very seldom laugh. I mean, you guys must have seen it. I don't laugh easily in movies. And I really laughed. There were a few moments, and I don't know how much.
I heard you laugh out loud.
I suspect a lot of these lines are ad-libbed, I suspect. But some of those lines, I just, you know, I was holding on to my stomach. Yeah, so I think, you know, for a comedy, it made me laugh. And so that's good enough. I think these are really good actors who could have done a lot better, but considering what they did, I still think it's an accomplishment. I too give it 7 out of 10.
7 from me as well. We all have the same score. But for me, I want more sequels. Yazdi, you said it. You took the words out of my mouth. Because I love McCarthy and Bullock. This is a really fun movie.
Score?
7.
Oh, yeah, you started with the score.
Yeah.
Pay attention, Joe.
Yeah.
Good, unanimous 7. So, yeah, thumbs up then, I guess.
Thumbs up.
We can move on to Monsters U or The Lone Ranger.
Monsters U.
Okie doke. Who's introing that?
Me again. Okay, so Mike Wazowski and James P. Sullivan are an inseparable pair, but that wasn't always the case. From the moment these two mismatched monsters met, they couldn't stand each other. Monsters University therefore unlocks the door to how Mike and Sully overcame their differences and became the best of friends. This is directed by Dan Scanlon, and writing credits are Dan Scanlon, Daniel Gerson, and Robert L. Baird. So, Joe, why don't you go first on this one?
So, I don't remember it.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to say who stars in it.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Billy Crystal, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, Helen Mirren, and a whole host of others.
Yes.
Sorry, Joe.
That's okay.
Take two.
So, I don't remember too much about the original Monsters U, other than I loved it to bits. We watched it a long time ago. I think we watched it on TV, perhaps even...
But a long time after it was actually released. We kind of resisted it for a long time.
I never liked the look of it, the odd aesthetic, you know, the one-eye monster. Always put us off watching it, but when we watched the movie, it stole my heart. So I have a very fond place in my heart for Monsters, for the original Monsters, Inc., although not necessarily a very big place in my brain. So Monsters U, I kind of approached with some excitement, and this movie did it for me. It hit it in every which way I think it could have. Talk about a buddy movie here. It goes through all of the aspects of the kind of the college life of these two characters, you know, competition, you know, friendship, betrayal, the whole thing that, you know, we deal with in college where, you know, some people are just naturally talented and other people have to work to bits. You know, all of that stuff was addressed here. So, I would recommend that anyone who is raising kids who might be thinking about going to college, you know, watch this movie to kind of remind yourself of what college life is like and prepare your kids for that. I thought this movie was great fun.
Yesy.
So, Joe, like you, for me, Monsters, Inc., the original one, is one of the Pixar's greatest, with its blend of the odd and the previously unseen, and it has genuine emotional ballast. And, you know, I watch it now, and I watched it a couple, maybe 6 months ago, and it's a great film, even upon, you know, countless rewatches. It holds up amazingly well. So Monsters University, the prequel, I guess, building on the amazement of this very special universe of the original film, should have soared and taken flight, but it does not. It's not outright horrid for me, or even as pedestrian as Cars 2 was, and actually it has some really good fun along the way, but the fact that this film keeps its feet firmly on the ground when it should have just taken off came off as a little bit of a disappointment for me. I expected a little bit more.
Oh, okay. Well, Pixar does it again. I mean, this is a home run that has so much heart from the outset. Like you, Yessi, I thought it would be difficult even to come close to the original because this is a prequel, and I think prequels have a really hard time. And I love the original, like Joe said, like you, Yazdi, too. And I'm happy to say that although for me it didn't top the original, I think it was definitely good enough.
Mm.
So I think whereas you're saying it didn't soar, I'm saying I think it was good enough to be a prequel.
I think expectation management is an issue with you and Pixar, maybe. Yazdi, because they have done some of the greatest movies of our time. And I think when they do They do animation better than anyone else. You know, I don't think anyone else right now has come close. I mean, DreamWorks, I think, almost got there with, you know, How to Train Your Dragon. But I can't think of many other movies that connect with me emotionally in the same way. Pixar has this magical way of telling stories. And I just thought that this movie really explored so many of the themes that are central to that time of your life that and they wove it all in there. So in terms of my connection with it, it was very similar to my college experience. Mm. And maybe that's why I related to the character so much. These are really wonderful characters.
I mean, I absolutely enjoyed it while watching it. But I mean, just to give you an idea of where I'm coming from, it's been, 2 weeks since I've seen it. I don't remember a thing. I remember maybe one scene set in the library. That's the only scene I remember. Yeah. So it's just completely evaporated from my mind. I really enjoyed it while I was watching it. And all those things you talk about, you know, friendships and redemption and, you know, trying to make the ones who are naturally gifted versus the ones who have to work hard. It touches upon all of these issues. But I do hold Pixar to a ridiculously high standard because they've just, you know, film after film just knocked it out of the park. Not because of their visuals, but because of their ideas.
Yeah.
And my thing is, you know, if you're going to go revisit that universe, you'd better have a killer of an idea. And I felt that idea was not quite a 10.
Yeah.
It was maybe a 7.
I mean, I think where it won me over, though, and I agree with you, Asti, I think it was, you know, when I compare it to the original, it isn't as good and I can't put my finger on why. But I think the reason why I loved it so much was Pixar's amazing ability to inject emotion and humanity into anything that looks weird. I mean, you can take the six-eyed monster or, you know, crazy looking thing, anything, but the amount of humanity they inject into that and the emotionality is just incredible. And that's what I liked. And I liked how quippy this one was. I mean, there were some real secondary characters who were brilliant, like the mother. The mother of the house they stay in.
Right.
What a brilliant character. The attention to detail is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it won me over eventually.
But I think, Yasti, perhaps I'm just trying to understand where your disappointment comes from. I think in part the original Monsters, Inc. was so inspired in terms of its concept. Mm-hmm. You know, this idea that, you know, you had a new world harvest. That was powered by screams and monsters in the closet and that kind of stuff. Whereas this was much more a traditional narrative about characters that could have done anything for a living. I mean, it could have been the Pixar miners or, you know, the
car makers.
Yeah. So maybe in terms of concept, it wasn't up there, but in terms of execution, it really hit the nail on the head for me, and obviously Rashmi too.
Yeah. What do you guys think about how appropriate this is for kids, other than the fact that it's an animation? Because at times I thought the film got really quite dark, and I certainly saw the screening we were in had kids in it, and they were running around and not paying attention, but I kind of feel like this was almost a little bit dark, and the antagonist was actually quite scary at times. Did you get that sense, or do you think it's good for kids, like really young kids?
You know, I fail that test every single time because I never watch the movie through anybody else's eyes other than my own. And I've talked to you guys about this before, where I've wholeheartedly recommended movies to, you know, people, you know, to friends, you know, who have seen it with their kids, and they were horrified, and they've come back and yelled at me saying, "Do you realize we have kids?" And so I'm like, "Really? I thought that movie was perfectly fine to show to kids." And they're like, "Which part of the movie?" So I can't speak to it.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it was a tad dark. I mean, I remember, for example, when we saw Brave, when I was watching that movie, for sure I felt there were certain parts which were too intense, mostly because the kid in front of me was horrified and wanted to leave the cinema and was begging, you know, her mom to saying, you know, "Please, mommy, can we go home?" She was so scared of it. But what do you think, Joe? Did you think particularly
dark? No, I think this movie does the right kind of scaring for kids. You know, I think I always think that kids to a certain extent like to be scared. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's one of the things that we always forget. When you look at some of the Disney classics, you know, some of the themes like, you know, Bambi, for example, of, you know, the mother deer dying or
we haven't seen Bambi.
Everyone knows about the mother deer dying in Bambi. So, you know, some of the classic fairy tales have some very scary moments in them. I think this movie had those somewhat scary moments, but I don't think any of it was too intense for little kids.
Yeah.
You know, and the
G,
whole, like,
it's G rated, not PG. That's why I'm saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a G, which I just found interesting, but okay.
Yeah, I think there are parts of it that can be a little intense for a G rating.
Yeah.
I think the monsters certainly were all very cuddly.
Oh, they were gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but the screams are pretty, you know, when they do the,
right.
You know, when,
oh, that's what you meant. Right. Right. Towards the end, there's a whole competition.
Right.
Yes. 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 And then it gets pretty intense.
So they can be pretty frightening.
Right. Right.
But it's all done, I think, with a sense of fun that you won't keep your kids awake at night.
Yeah. And finally, I'm really happy to say the 3D on this one was flawless. I love the 3D, and I actually for once forgot that I was wearing my glasses because I've had such a problem with 3D recently. But any comments on 3D worth the extra $5?
I have no recollection of having watched it in 3D.
It was that good.
Yes, perhaps, yes.
It was very well executed, but not a movie that I would...
It's not a must.
Yeah, you know, when I think about a family with two kids going to see this and it being an extra $20 to get them all in with the 3D glasses, I would say don't bother. The kids aren't going to appreciate it. There's no...
Or they'll be running around and throw them off.
Right. Well, but there's no gimmicky 3D in here, yeah. Right? So, I mean, I think the credits were very well done, yeah. But there was no gimmicky 3D in here that made me think, wow, you know, you're missing out if you don't see it with the glasses.
All right. Anything else on this one? Okay, Yazdi, you go first then.
So unlike you, Rashmi, I think this movie does not quite hit the stride that Pixar did, you know, when it was at the peak of its form. But again, like I said, it's certainly not as horrid as some of their more recent endeavors. I think it's a very accomplished movie. It's very well made. It has a good heart. It's fun to watch. I just wouldn't put it in the same level as, say, WALL-E or, you know, Up or any of those movies. So I give it somewhere between a 6 and a 7. Maybe a 6 out of 10.
Wow. Joe?
I think I saw the movie the same way that you did, Rashmi. So I had a terrific amount of fun with this. It left me feeling all smiley at the end of it. And I really enjoyed the interaction of the characters, the buddy, the sense of competition in there. And, you know, all of those college themes that, you know, are done so well in, you know, in good college movies. So... It really worked for me. I connected with this on every level. That kind of matters to me. 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. Pixar knocks this one out of the ballpark into the galaxy. I love this movie and can't wait for the sequel. So I'm going to give this one an 8 out of 10 as well.
Good stuff.
Out of interest, Yazdi, what would you have given the original Monsters?
Maybe even a 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. And Joe, what would you have
given
it?
Because it was unlike anything I'd seen.
Exactly.
It was so, so amazing a universe it had created.
Yeah.
Like just the physics of the universe, you know, with these screams being channeled and going through and these doors.
And the doors,
which
yeah.
are rotating. And it's so smart at all those levels.
Yeah. Joe, what would you have given the original one?
Probably an 8 or a 9. I think the idea of Monsters, Inc. was just genius to me. I remember watching it. And my jaw literally dropping on the floor when I'm like, wow, what a great exploration of monsters in the closet. You know, mm-hmm. the monsters under your bed, the kind of things, again, that we all had like little anxieties about as a kid. And this wonderful explanation behind it all. What a clever idea. So probably a 9.
Yeah, I'm the same. Probably a 9, maybe even a 10, because it was that. I mean, I remember the end of Monsters just kind of sobbing or crying with joy and feeling so lovely about, you know, this, how cuddly these monsters really were and the job that they had to do. So yeah, just to give people a comparison.
Good. Now, we can't talk about Monsters U without talking about the little Pixar flick that came
yes.
immediately prior to the movie called The Blue Umbrella. I read a little piece online. I think I posted it.
You did.
Maybe I would just put it on my personal Facebook page instead of the Movie Rollers Facebook page. But you know, Pixar, it was really Pixar's very first kind of photorealistic movie. Mm. It was a story about a blue umbrella who wants to become friends, or perhaps a little more, with a little red umbrella. I personally found this to be a delightful little movie. It's without doubt, in my mind, going to be on the shortlist of contenders for Best Animated Short this year. Guys, what did you think of it?
dreamy.
It was darling. It was very nice, and it kind of reminded me of that the one from last year that Pixar made called Paperman. Do you remember?
That was not Pixar. Oh, that was Disney. That was another studio.
Kind of reminded me, and not visually in any way, but in terms of its theme.
Yes, this,
it kind of reminded me of these two unrequited love between these two characters who fate has to conspire to bring together.
The story arc of that little story within 7 minutes or 10 minutes, however long it is, what it managed to convey again between these inanimate objects was just unbelievable. And then it wasn't just the umbrellas, it was everything around them, and how imaginative the little letterboxes and the drain pipes. And I mean, it's unbelievable what Pixar do. They are just genius. And I can't even imagine when they get that technology right and they're able to do a feature length, what they're going to do with it.
Story-wise, it wasn't especially original. It was just very, very beautifully done. And now that you mention Paperman, it's the same story in so many ways. Other than, instead of line-drawn people, these are little umbrellas that are interacting the same way. But for me, what was most remarkable was the visual style. It's a departure from anything that we've seen from Pixar before, and it was photorealistic to the extent that when I first saw it, I thought, wow, Pixar is doing live action here. And then it becomes clear that it's not. It's just incredibly well executed.
Yeah.
I just like that the action in the movie, if you can call it that, is so well choreographed. That whole piece at the very end where the two umbrellas are separated and, everybody...
The tension!
All these things conspire to bring them together. There's a poetry to how it's all... it's not just random things flying from one end to the other. There's a lot of storyboarding, thought, and concept which has gone into every little piece there. So I admire that. That's how
gorgeous.
It should be done.
So to my mind, that was worth the price of admission alone for Monsters U.
Yeah. Yeah, good remembering.
Cool. All right, then let's move on to our final movie of the week, which is The Lone Ranger.
That Yazdi escaped.
But he didn't escape the intro.
Or lost. Out on...
I did not escape the intro, no. So The Lone Ranger first appeared in popular culture as a radio show in 1933. That show, which was a hit, led to a number of books written by Franz Stryker and a popular television show that followed from 1949 to 1957. Since then, there have been many movie adaptations, and through a series of arduous events, the copyright for the original Lone Ranger material landed with Disney, which took on a new adaptation of this material a full 32 years since the last time this character appeared on the big screen. The story closely follows John Reed, a frontier man, who with the assistance of the Native American warrior Tonto, or Kemosabe, takes on the identity of Masked Avenger, the Lone Ranger, in order to dole out justice against the evil men of the Wild West. Armie Hammer plays the title character, and Johnny Depp, playing Tonto, reunites with his Pirates of the Caribbean director Gore Verbinski for this adaptation. The film is written by Justin Haythe, Ted Elliott, and Terry Rossio, and Helena Bonham Carter, Tim Wilkinson, William Fichtner, James Badge Dale, and Barry Pepper round off the supporting cast. I did not see this movie. Tell me I was happy. I was thoughtful to have done so.
Okay, so if you've seen the trailer, you can say you've watched the movie. Not because the whole story is in the trailer, but really there isn't much more to the film. That said, this is really trying hard to be a crowd pleaser, summer blockbuster that has fun tricks and stunts and action, big names and an even bigger gimmick. Johnny Depp, yet again, in bad makeup and costume. I just about enjoyed this movie in the moment, but cannot recommend this in good faith.
Joe?
This movie reminds me of Gore Verbinski's last movie that we saw, which was the Rango.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
In terms of tone. And Rango is not a movie that I connected with. This movie, I'm just going to cut straight to the chase. This movie was pants. And not the long kind of pants that we wear here in America. This movie was like underpants, and not clean ones or stylish ones, but just bad, stinky underpants. I guess that's a little unfair, but I think the big issue I had with the movie was it was 2.5 freaking hours long. And Rashmi, you mentioned the trailer here. It really is just the trailer with bits of filler thrown in and credits at the beginning and end. It was so terribly dull for so much of the movie. The action scenes felt extremely forced, and I'm not the hugest Johnny Depp fan, but, you know, when he nails it, he nails it. But here, his character was just so annoying and bizarre, and bizarrely annoying. And then Armie Hammer had very little charisma, I thought, as the Lone Ranger himself, that the movie just, it was boring. I was just bored to tears.
Yeah, I think the problem I had with it, Yazdi, is that mostly this just comes off as pantomime with caricatures versus, you know, a good acting with well-rounded characters and a story arc. And Armie Hammer just was too Brendan Fraser-esque for me to take seriously in that role. And, you know, Lone Ranger is supposed to be this really smart cowboy, and that just didn't come across.
It's interesting, if you look up Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic, it's running really low. So most people,
25%.
And then there are a handful of critics who are really going to bat with this. And there, I mean, I know a couple of people within our San Diego community of people who review movies who just absolutely love this movie. And, you know, they found the visuals in the movie amazing, and they found that it's very true to the original concept, and it's very brooding and dark and, you know, reminiscent of an old West and so forth. So I almost wonder if this is the kind of movie where how much it'll resonate depends on what you might bring to it or what other prior knowledge you have about it. I must say, the Western is not my favorite genre. That's one of the reasons why I actually bailed from this. And based on all the reviews I've been reading, I see absolutely no desire to watch it. But it's funny how, you know, the majority of people don't seem to like it, and then some people think it's great.
You know, I'm not familiar with the original Lone Ranger, so I can't bring any nostalgia to the table, which may have helped the viewing experience. But I think the real issue with this movie, because it was very expertly made, I mean, I admired the movie in terms of, you know, its visual execution, in terms of its size and scope, and
production design is
production
good.
Production design was very good. Costumes were excellent. The feeling of period was certainly very well done indeed. And it had this really nice washed out kind of visual aesthetic. Again, very similar in my mind to Rango.
But Rango was good.
I know, but you didn't connect with it. No, in terms of the visual world, because it was very, there were no
dry
bright colors in this world, and you really did feel, you know, this idea of being in the Wild West. But the Lone Ranger arc and the Tonto character and you know, for me, all the problems in the movie were squarely in the hands of the writers. Mm. And then I blame the director for not tightening things up, because 2.5 hours is too long for this kind of movie. And I think if you'd cut an hour out of it, we may have gotten something that was, you know, adequate enough entertainment. But to sit there for as long as we had to sit there and endure this, you know, really very dull, I didn't care for anybody. Mm. It's what it came down to. I didn't care anybody. I was like, somebody shoot these people now so that I can leave the theater.
Yeah, and I'll put that another way. I think, you know, as we're seeing in all of these huge summer action blockbusters, the last 20 minutes or the race to the climax are just a ludicrous set of action-packed, implausible, larger-than-life stunt extravaganzas. And I think that if more money had actually been spent on the story versus the action, we'd have more movies that are worth watching. And so I think the problem you have is that you have this great production and cinematography and costume, but then it's almost done a little bit tongue-in-cheek pantomime. So it didn't commit to either being serious or comedy, and it brought neither one properly. Mm. And you have some really good actors. I mean, you had Tom Wilkinson in this. But
who did very well. I liked. Yeah, he was one of the few things about the movie that I liked.
But, I mean, it just wasn't a good story. It was very confused as a story.
And again, I don't know the Lone Ranger character well enough, but I do think that Armie Hammer felt wrong in the role. He didn't come across as heroic enough. And I don't know enough about the original Lone Ranger, so perhaps shame on me there. But he just, he was lifeless, and
he was very puppet like.
I didn't really feel like he had anything to do in the movie. And, you know,
and he's a talented guy.
And I haven't seen, this is an actor that I don't love. I haven't seen him in anything that I've really admired him in.
The
Social Network.
He was okay, the twins.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And then
yeah, he was actually good as the Winklevi.
I know you guys both hated him, but I really liked him in Mirror Mirror.
Oh my God.
You know, he was the prince. He was the prince in Mirror Mirror, and he was good in
it. He was actually the same character, it felt like, with a mask on his eyes.
I just felt that this character needed a little more, more personality, a little more charisma, a little more charm. And he didn't bring that to the character, which was kind of sad to me. I thought Tom Wilkinson was great and William Fichtner.
Yes.
He was good.
He was unrecognizable, actually.
A strange choice for that character, yeah. But he did it really well. So I don't hold any of the actors responsible for this mess. I think it was purely writing and bad. It was competently directed, but not directed with a sense of fun or story or pacing.
Okay. Any other questions, Yazdi? Can we convince you anymore?
No, I mean, people are already calling it the John Carter of this year.
Yeah.
And we've already had it. Was John Carter in 2013?
Or 2012.
2012. And I actually happen to like John Carter. I mean, I didn't hate it. I mean, I thought it was badly panned. It wasn't that bad. But it seems like in this case, this one is pretty bad. I mean, it's going to lose a ton of money for Disney.
Yeah, it was expensive movie to make as well.
I hope there is no sequel to this one. Okay, score it, Joe.
A pair of size 40. You know those big bloomer, nasty underpants that old people wear? That's what this movie was to me. I'm going to give this a 4 out of 10.
This really is a back-of-the-plane movie if you've run out of everything else to watch. Don't waste your money unless you're a diehard Johnny Depp fan. And even then, think carefully. Not awful, but not very good either. Same score, 4 out of 10. Less than average.
Good intentions don't always lead to...
I don't know. I think Johnny Depp has to seriously think about... Well, not that he has to think about it, but I'm just so tired of seeing him as a caricature.
I just don't know how this script saw the light of day. I mean...
Because it has Johnny Depp.
No, the script, the whole... You know, Johnny Depp's in the project, great, but I don't know who said, yep, this is the story that we have to tell. You know, I don't know how anyone sat down with the 127-page script that they have and said, this is a story that we are going to tell. And it felt like the movie was almost engineered with here's the visual look, here's who we're going to cast, and then let's cobble together a few lines so that they have something to do for 2.5 hours. But just, such a frustrating thing to see.
And it's surprising because it's produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, who is, for all his faults, he's always a very savvy, very canny commercial filmmaker. You would think that somebody with his, mindset would have made sure that, what the product would be, for the big blockbuster that it is meant to be, that it was commercially tenable. But anyway.
I mean, I guess it was just time to make a remake of The Lone Ranger.
As I look at the writing team here, there were 3 writers, so maybe they couldn't bring together a single vision. I don't know. Just sad. Anyway, let us know what you think of our 3 movies this week. That was Monsters U, The Lone Ranger, and The Heat.
You almost felt it then.
Mail at movierollers.com, twitter.com/movierollers, facebook.com/movierollers as well. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, don't forget to check out our Facebook page for news about our event on July 21st. Until our next show, too many movies, too little time. Good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.